Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Twelve minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, April 20th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and of course streaming everywhere on the planet from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. We are streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our Twitter account, and our YouTube channel. Our focus this morning, volunteer opportunities with San Juan County. We'll be talking with folks from the San Juan County Fire and Rescue Department, also the San Juan County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff's Office Foundation. That is coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour, it is Tuesday, of course, so we'll talk with Amber Francisco over at the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. We'll show you some of the pets available for adoption this week, including Neo, who is the dog on the screen right now. He is waiting for his forever home. You'll meet him and more coming up this morning, 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, Mick Hess will take us roving with the yards. It's our classical music program, weekday mornings from 9 to 10 o'clock. And today, Mick is featuring music from Shostakovich and Wagner coming up today on Roving with the Arts. And of course, we invite you to connect with us on all of our social media platforms, in addition to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and don't forget about Instagram as well. And let's talk about the weather forecast, shall we? Outside, it's 44 degrees right now, and we're going to go talk to Rolando Yazzie, who is our weather intern from the Clear class here at San Juan College. He is joining me on the phone this morning. Rolando, good morning.
All right. Good morning, Scott. And for today, we're looking at mostly sunny skies with windy conditions, high near 63. Tonight, windy with partly cloudy skies, low in 42. Tomorrow, windy, partly cloudy skies, high near 71. For tomorrow night, windy with clear skies, low in 43. Thursday, mostly sunny with a slight chance of rain showers in the afternoon, high in 65. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers, low in 41. Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 65. Friday night, mostly clear skies, low in 34. Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 73. And for Saturday night, mostly clear, low in 45. And I'm Rolando Yazzie reporting your weather forecast on 90.9 KSJE.
All right, Rolando, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice job. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. That is Rolando Yazzie, our KSJE weather intern, speaking with me this morning. So appreciate it very much. Like I said, I like the sun. Not so much a fan of the wind, but that's what we're getting. So there you go. Let me introduce my guests who are here with me in the studio, as I mentioned, to talk about volunteer opportunities with San Juan County. Christy Hughes is here from the San Juan County Sheriff's Office. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to KSJE. You bet. It's great to have you here. Also joining us is Captain Jordan Richards. Good morning to you. I'm sorry, Chief.
Division Chief. That's right. Yeah.
Pardon me. I had it written down and everything, and I still messed it up.
That's okay.
Welcome back to KSJE, Jordan.
Thank
it's good to have you here.
Always good to be here.
As well. Thank you very much. And you both are here on a very momentous week and month, because April is National Volunteer Month, as we were talking about before we came on the air this morning, and this is National Volunteer Week.
It is.
How do we manage to do that? That's really
lined up.
Go us, yeah. Right? Exactly. So congratulations to everybody, and it really is a shout out to all the volunteers who really make a lot of the things that we love and need and enjoy possible here in San Juan County and really throughout the state, throughout the country, of course. Volunteers really carry a heavy load in many cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your case, probably more than a lot of others, Jordan Richards, right?
Yeah, yeah. Volunteers in the fire service create 75% of the fire service nationwide. In our local area, almost 90% of the firefighters are volunteers. So huge weight on volunteers here, and we just couldn't do what we do without them.
I was going to say, for the fire departments, the volunteer fire departments throughout San Juan County, I mean, if you didn't have that army, and really is a small army of volunteers to respond when there's an emergency, we'd be in trouble.
Absolutely. We're a combination service, so we have some paid staff, but I like to say that we are a volunteer department supported by paid staff, right? The majority of our volunteers are volunteer.
Right.
And we have to have them.
And the jobs that those volunteers do for you, it really runs the gamut, doesn't it?
Absolutely everything. We do all the training. It's national levels training done here at San Juan College. And it's actually international. So when you get done with our academy, you have a certification that would allow you to work anywhere in the world. And we just hope that you stay here and volunteer with us.
Right. Exactly. And the types of jobs, though, they can be on the front lines at emergencies and fires and things like that we hear about, but you could also use them maybe for office type stuff too sometimes.
Yeah. So there's a place for everybody in the volunteer fire service. We need administrative help. We have lots of administrative support members that are volunteers.
I know that's the favorite part of your job, though. You love the paperwork, don't you?
Yeah. Well, some people have a real passion for paperwork, and we need them, right?
No, I understand.
And it's not just paperwork. I've got some administrative, we'll use the air quotes, volunteers out in like Kirtland, for example. They run District 1 Valley's Facebook page, and they do a really great job at it.
Right. Which is one of your larger volunteer departments.
It is. It's one of our most heavily populated districts, for sure. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job running that. They also do tons of meeting minutes and all the administrative stuff that comes along with it. But they're really good at it, and they love doing it.
Right.
We have EMS support members. We have driver operators. That's a really popular one for our retired community. I often get people come in and ask about volunteering, but they're, maybe in retirement age, and they don't want to crawl around inside burning buildings, which I totally understand. And so we need people to drive trucks. I have lots of young kids that come and volunteer right out of high school that are happy to crawl around inside of a burning building. But
more power to them.
They can't drive the truck yet. So, I'm always looking for people, especially if you have experience, water hauling, those things in the oil field that we see all the time. It's no different than a water tender that we use for firefighting.
Big trucks. Yeah. No difference in a lot of ways. And that brings up a good point, is the age range for your volunteers, right? So how young can I be?
So
and that was a long time ago. Can I be to volunteer with the fire and rescue?
You have to be at least 16 years old to join as a junior member. You can still attend the academy at 16. You can't sit for those international certifications that we talked about quite yet. You have to be 18 to get all those, but you can still go through the academy. And then when you're done, when you turn 18, we can get you certified. Junior members are great. They help out a lot. They get their hands dirty with the rest of us. They're not going inside the buildings quite yet, but,
right.
They do just as much work on the outside.
Sure. And as you mentioned, then the upper age limits really only is just as much as someone wants to do, I suppose, right? A retiree or whatever?
Wherever your imagination can take you, I guess. Yeah.
Gotcha.
We just had a volunteer sign up recently. We actually had two in their 70s. And
nice.
Both are planning to attend the academy. So
very good.
Yeah.
And they don't want to crawl around burning buildings, or maybe they do.
One actually retired from crawling around in burning buildings.
He worked
for Cal Fire. So lots of experience there. He's hoping to train, I think, a little bit for us. And the other one, he's working on a farm up here and sees our trucks drive by all the time and thought, that looks like something I'd like to do. So
sign him up.
To him. Absolutely. I'll take him.
There you go. Very good. Christy Hughes, I want to turn back to you a little bit and ask a little bit about some of the volunteer opportunities with the sheriff's office and some of the things that folks can do for the sheriff's department. Of course, the Sheriff's Office Foundation is kind of the nonprofit arm of the sheriff's office, right?
Yes, sir. The foundation is a board of volunteers that goes out and does the fundraising that supports all of our community outreach program. The Girls with Grit, which is a big one that we would like to get back to as soon as...
Once conditions allow, I suppose, right?
Hoping for this fall.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Our reserves program, that's a big portion of what they support. And then our chaplains, and they go out and fundraise for us to be able to do the Shop with Your Cop that we do around Christmas time.
Right, which is great for local kids, right?
Yes.
From needy families and things along that line. And so talk to me a little bit about how folks can become active with that, and what are some of the opportunities with maybe the reserve program or some of the other things that folks could sign up for.
So our volunteers is actually, it's called the Volunteers and Partnership Program, our VIP program.
Okay.
And we have our website where you can go on sjcso.com and put in an application to volunteer.
Gotcha.
So we have a lot of areas. We have some administrative stuff in the office, which has been scaled back lately due to COVID restrictions too, and making sure we don't have outbreaks in our office. But we do have a couple administrative ones in the office. And then the biggest portion of our volunteers are our reserves, who are amazing.
Right.
They get out there and they're just backing our deputies, and they're the support that they need.
So. Indeed. Right. And they get a lot of training, I know, don't they?
Yes.
Before they ever get out into the wild, if you will.
They go through their own condensed academy, but they do go through their academy, and they have access to additional training just like our deputies do as well.
Right. And same question I asked Jordan would be the age ranges. I mean, how young can someone be to get involved with the sheriff's office?
So I do have actually an intern that I'm looking at on bringing in for the summer. So we do have interns that we can come in, but to be a reserve, you have to be 21 years old.
Got it. Okay. Good to know, right?
Yes.
But if someone's interested in maybe criminal justice or maybe being a police officer or sheriff's deputy, this could be a step in the door, couldn't it? A foot in the door.
A lot of our deputies started out as reserves, so it's a very good step in the door. And then also after they retire, some of our reserve deputies are retired officers that just couldn't give it up.
They just can't get away, right? They don't want to, right? And that's a great thing. And so remind us again that with the sheriff's office, how many, how many deputies are on commission basically and are patrolling San Juan County at any given time? What would you say?
Oh goodness, we've
this
had
this is a question for the sheriff. Putting you on the spot.
Oh, they told me at the last meeting we're right below 100 at this point of our certified officers.
Okay, and is that a good spot? Do you have openings? Do you know
we have openings?
Okay.
For sure,
for full time folks as well.
For full time.
So there you go. If you're listening, everybody, you can certainly get more information on the Sheriff's Office website, I would imagine, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a great way to go to do that. Terrific. Jordan Richards, let me come back to you a little bit about the San Juan County Fire and Rescue, which we talked about with the chief not too long ago here on this program, right? Of the little bit of a minor name change, because a lot of your calls now are rescue calls,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we... Back in January of this year, we put out a survey to all of our membership and said, you know, we've had some ideas here in the office. We've gone through a lot of changes with the new chief and stuff, you know, along that line. So we came up with maybe we should change our name. A number of departments have done this. One that's local-ish, Albuquerque Fire and Rescue did the same thing a few years ago. And so we kind of looked at what we do and really, 60 to 70% of what we do is rescue type calls, EMS, technical rescues, you know,
sure.
Extrications, high angle rescues, swift water rescues, stuff like that. So, while fire is a big part of what we do, we wanted to add that rescue in to more accurately represent who we are and what we do.
Right. And so I guess for volunteers and your members, that includes a lot of what they do then when they go out on a call, right? The majority are rescue type calls.
Right. Yeah, it makes it a little easier for me to recruit people because it's again, it's a more accurate representation. We're not just the fire department. We do a lot of rescue. We work really closely with San Juan Regional's EMS and, you know, and even the sheriff's office, you know, we've had some pretty interesting rescues here lately that have involved, you know, high angle, low angle, putting ropes together, stuff like that. So it really is a more accurate representation.
Yeah. And we have quite the diverse county, don't we? Geographically speaking and geologically speaking and all those things. I mean, you talk about swift water rescue from the rivers, and then you've got cliffs and bluffs and mountains and valleys and all these different things that you folks need to be trained to deal with, right? Because someone gets in trouble, they need help. They call you guys.
Right. Yeah. And we have specialty teams for all of that. You know, we just about the only thing we don't do ourselves in-house is hazmat. We still train our volunteers to an awareness level. But Farmington Fire does the big stuff for us. We assist them when they come out. But yeah, otherwise, you know, we have high angle rescue teams. We have trucks positioned throughout the county with ropes and boats and stuff like that for any kind of situation. We have the only fire boat in the state of New Mexico, which I'm always really proud of. I like to mention that.
Very good. And I guess it would patrol the lake.
It does. It's hard to get it out on the river.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But on the lake, which is heavily used
absolutely.
As the weather warms up. And we're just getting ready for peak season, aren't we?
Yeah, very, absolutely. Very we're getting ready to put boat in the water at the end of the month.
Okay. Very good to know. Yeah. And I guess then the shift from fire doesn't mean that you're not trained on fire too. But I guess the good news is that we're not burning things down maybe as much as we used to, or we're just needing more rescue calls.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to be optimistic.
We still have quite the heavy fire load. You know, we definitely run, as far as fire services in the area go, we definitely get the majority of structure fires, and then also wildland fire incidents. We have what we call a heavy WUI situation. So WUI is wildland urban interface, and it's definitely that's a big thing for us,
right? And that is kind of that area in a community. It doesn't have to be in a city, right? But you've got maybe a development, maybe a subdivision, or maybe just a house that's up against a more open space wild land area, right? And that's where some of these fires can be really dangerous.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that we kind of preach a lot is defensible space. Defensible space is allowing that, you know, if there was a wildland fire incident near your home, allowing your space to have, or your home to have enough space that we can defend it easily, or the fire would just burn out up to it. So, you know, usually the recommendation is 30 to 40 feet in all directions. Try to get rid of anything that's going to burn heavily.
Right.
You know, obviously we're not telling people to have zero scape or whatever. You still have grass, but get rid of the heavy timber and, you know, just the brush that is lying down all over the place.
Yeah. Maybe your tumbleweed collection
that's
kind of blown up against the side of the house could be put somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or thrown away.
You know, I've heard people make money on those.
Maybe.
You can spray paint them and there sell them to people on the East Coast. So
they love that.
They love it.
East Coast friends. That's right. That's true. But that's a great point. And we see, I think, sometimes a lot of photos after a wildfire has burned through a neighborhood, maybe that there are maybe houses that are look like they weren't touched at all next to a house that maybe only has a chimney remaining. And maybe, you know, that's a great definition of how the fire department said, you know, we can defend this house.
Yeah.
This house next door, we can't because there isn't that defensible space that you mentioned. And isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Unfortunately, in those large wildland incidents, we're talking hundreds and thousands of acres. They actually have teams that go through ahead of the fire and say, we have to write this house off. We can save this one. We can't put people at risk to save this one.
So, because of what you're talking about.
Because of the defensible space. So if we can feasibly put a truck in there, or if the ground is already to where we can maybe do a back burn and actually burn what is there in front of the house back to meet up with that fire that's approaching, then that is a reasonable house to save. But if it's just overgrown and we can't get to it, then there are unfortunately those times where houses get written off, and we hate doing that. But you know, we also have to look at the safety of our firefighters, and I say we, We don't do that typically. Thankfully, right. We don't get those kind of incidents, but they do happen. And so you just never know.
Right. But they have happened here, and we shouldn't absolutely. Say that they won't. And
no, I know no, when we, absolutely.
When we talk about the weather forecast with these high winds that we're dealing with, I'm sure it makes you pay attention and folks in the fire and rescue service pay attention too, because it just takes one spark to I don't know how conditions are these days. Well, what would you say?
I mean, 2 weeks ago we had a 30-acre fire at 1 o'clock in the morning. That just doesn't happen, you know. And so weather conditions are extremely dry. We get a report from the Weather Service, and they actually they're calling this year historic because it is so dry. I know it's but it really is. It's super dry
already.
Which
is sad, right?
Yeah.
Normally this is, you know, we're thinking it's not dry, but
yeah,
it is this year.
We're just not seeing those relative humidities come up to and sustain where we'd like to see them. So, you know, we get lots of questions about burn permits, stuff like that. We are allowing burning until noon. On days that we feel it's safe, but there's a lot of days that we anticipate coming into late spring and early summer that it's just not going to be safe.
Right. And those you update, I know, I think mostly every daily, right?
Absolutely.
On the website, on the Facebook pages and things like that. So that's important as well. My guests this morning are here from San Juan County. We're talking about some of the volunteer opportunities available with the San Juan County Fire and Rescue Department, also the San Juan County Sheriff's Office. Christy Hughes is here. She is the public information manager for the Sheriff's Office. And Christy, I want to come back to you a little bit about some of the opportunities with the Sheriff's Office. You mentioned that VIP program, and so some of the things that those volunteers can be doing throughout the year, hopefully as things maybe open back up, working with some of these other special programs you have for women and other groups in the community?
Yes. So one of the things that we have a lot of community involvement with is our Girls with Get Grit program. We need support kind of from our local businesses, helping to give meals for those nights because they're late nights. It's women that are working. And
remind us what that class is all about, right?
Girls with Grit, it's, oh goodness, I can't. Give you the acronym right now. You put me on the spot. Sorry.
I did again. But GRIT is an acronym, right?
GRIT is an acronym.
And they're trained and they're being taught different types of self-defense things.
Defense tactics, right? And preparing themselves in case, you know, God forbid something happens.
Right.
So,
but making them more confident, I guess, maybe,
yes,
of what they can do.
Yes, making them more confident. And
some techniques if they're approached by some creep somewhere and what to do.
Yes.
In a safe way.
Yeah, and so
popular too.
It has been very popular. I have a very long wait list, so I'm really hoping we can get that going so I can get my list down.
Right.
And unfortunately, that last class, they got two classes in and... Got shut down.
Right.
So...
Well, we want to be safe, but I understand. But you're hoping to get back to it this fall. And so if businesses are watching, listening this morning, and they want more information on how they could maybe help, can they just reach out to you at the Sheriff's Office? Is that the best way to do it?
They can reach out to me. They can call the main line at 334-6107 and ask for Christy Hughes.
Okay.
And then our deputies actually volunteer their time to teach those classes. So
nice.
But a lot of our volunteers, our community, like our fundraising events, like Breakfast with the Sheriff or Run with the Sheriff.
The Sheriff. I mean, there's a whole different, lots of different things. Maybe that's not quite the fundraiser. That's just
we don't like
happens.
To see those.
I understand.
We rely on our volunteers to help with those fundraising things as well.
Right. And they can help out and have different jobs during those events and things to help support whatever's going on.
Yes.
And that's the way to do it. And so do you kind of pull from a whole group of volunteers then, I guess, that are kind of on... Has filled out an application or on your list?
Being the sheriff's office, we have confidentiality stuff. So we do have an approval process. So you have to put an application and they get to go through the background checks and everything just like us employees do to make sure we're bringing in to keep our community safe
too.
Sure.
Right. But that's the process. And so it's not just someone can call you today and volunteer tomorrow. There is a bit of a process involved.
Correct.
In doing all that. So that makes sense. Jordan Richards, same question, I guess, for you. If someone wants to join the volunteer with the Fire and Rescue Department, there obviously you talked about the training, and that is a certain number of weeks, correct, at
correct.
The academy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a semester. We go with the springtime and fall semesters
at
the college. Our classes are a little different than the daytime. So there's two tracks. There's a daytime and a nighttime. We usually send people through the nighttime just because it's a little easier on the schedule. So it's two evenings a week and then every Saturday for that semester. There's some online components to it as well. It runs that college semester.
Got you. So, of course, here we are, April. So the spring semester is almost over. So
yeah.
you'll have a bunch of newly minted volunteers, coming your way.
12 we have graduating the academy. They, in fact, just sat for their IFSAC Firefighter 1 and 2 test this last Saturday.
Okay.
So...
And hopefully they all did very well with the training they received.
We won't know for a little bit. It takes about a week to get that stuff back, but hopefully they'll see lots of big envelopes. You know,
which is good.
You look for the big envelope because that's your certificate. If you get a little envelope, it says try again. So
yeah.
We'll look for big envelopes.
Understood. That makes sense. So the next opportunity would be in the fall semester, I guess, is what you're saying too, right?
Folks
want to go through the training.
We need to get them onboarded, and you have to be on the department for 6 weeks before we can send you through the Fire Academy. So to get onboarded, just fill out an application online. We recently went online with our applications. We still have paper applications available in the office, but we prefer online. It's sjcounty.net/jobs, just like you were looking for a job with the county. And just scroll all the way to the bottom, and it's volunteer firefighter right there at the bottom.
Okay.
It's open all year. So,
but 6 weeks out, that means sometime this summer, right? They should be
ready to go.
Board, yep. Right?
Yep.
To get ready in time for the fall semester.
Yes.
Is what we're talking about. And and again, all different types of opportunities. I know you're always looking for volunteer firefighters at the different districts throughout the county.
Yes.
And it really doesn't matter where you live in the county necessarily, because maybe I live in Aztec, but I work in Farmington and I could volunteer in La Plata.
Yeah. We have 11 now. We have 11 districts throughout San Juan County, including Bloomfield. And so we have availability everywhere. I have lots of volunteers that, just like you said, they work, across the county from where they live, but they volunteer where they work because they're there more often than where they live.
Right.
We have some districts have residency programs for, if somebody wants to live in the station, we can work that out. We have lots and lots of opportunities to get volunteers where they're needed.
Nice. Very, very important. And I guess the employers, too, deserve a shout out for allowing your volunteers to maybe leave work if there is an emergency and then be able to do that part of their volunteer efforts and then come back and get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely depend on some of the employers having some flexibility, and they benefit from it, too. They have trained personnel there on site if something were to happen. So we have lots of our staff work out at the mines,
right?
And they're part of the mine rescue team. So it's kind of
win-win
for us and the employer.
Indeed. Very, very good. Well, that's great to hear. Yeah. And Christy Hughes, again, if folks would like to volunteer for the Sheriff's Office and the Sheriff's Office Foundation, they can go to the website?
Yes, they can go to our website, which is sjcso.com, and then go to Programs and Volunteer Program, and there's an Apply Now button, and it'll take them to our Better Impact website, which tracks all of our volunteer hours and gives us those numbers that we need for tracking.
Very good. Well, wonderful. Well, we are out of time this morning, both of you, but thank you both for coming in this morning to talk a little bit about the volunteer opportunities that are available with San Juan County. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. You bet. Great to have you both here. Jordan Richards and Christy Hughes, my guests from San Juan County. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.